directly. Blog Talk Radio.
Originally, their members consisted of Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, and Edge. Edge was then kicked out, and Balor joined, and then the biggest development in Judgment Day happened when they attacked Rey Mysterio and Dominic, and Rhea Ripley began to choke out Dominic when she put him in the hold known as the head scissors. This was the true turning point, because after that night, Dominic somehow was beginning to turn to the dark side. That's when he knew that he wanted to join Judgment Day and be with Rhea Ripley. That's one of the reasons why
Yeah, that's one of the reasons Dominic the Dummy has gone downhill. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Across the Country podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, my sidekick, brother, mentor, Prayers, where he's out right now at Youngstown, Ohio, sitting by his nephew's bedside. We are sending a lot of prayers, and I'm sure a lot of you feel the same way, that he gets better. And, boy, I'll tell you, God works in great ways, and we're keeping our fingers crossed on this. 347-205-9631. If you want to hear it live, we're going an hour. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I give the red carpet treatment, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, I guess the threes are like this. Ralph, first of all, how are you during these circumstances? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, we're losing our other sidekick who needs some prayers too, Smoking Jim Frazier.
Yeah, Mark, it's, been a situation here. I'm down here in Youngstown, Ohio, and I appreciate all the prayers from yourself and all of our listeners and watchers of my programs on social media, on my platforms. I really appreciate all the prayers, and I'm very thankful to everyone. It goes to show you that a lot of people have some heart out here to say some prayers. Also, please say some prayers for Smoking Jim Frazier. He just had surgery today. He's in a hospital. I do not know. Smoking Jim's a private guy. I do not know exactly what he was in for, but I do know he had surgery today. He's still in a hospital. I don't know how much longer he's going to be in the hospital. But say some prayers for him as well, so we can get our buddy Smoking Jim Frazier back on with us here, Mark. Also, you can reach me at RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. Also, you can reach me on Facebook, on Wimkin, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and you can watch all my podcast shows on my YouTube channel, and I would urge you to subscribe. Check out all my archive versions of all my shows. I'm at 90 subscribers, and I'm looking to get 10 more so I can make 100 before June. I'd like to do that. Last time I set a goal, everyone helped me out with it, so that's great, and my goal now is to reach 100 by June. All right, Mark, we can get started. I have some news that you, me, and Peter didn't talk about last night. But it's an interesting topic to talk about in wrestling here, Mark, because Fox is talking about getting rid of SmackDown and the WWE. They're saying that they're losing money. The contract they signed with the WWE isn't what it was supposed to be, and WWE is not living up to their fulfillment of the contract. What do you think about this, Mark?
Wow, that's interesting, man. Man, that is crazy. Yeah, you gotta live up on, one side can't, marriage is 50-50. When it gets to be 80-20 or 90-10, you got problems. And I think, SmackDown's looking at some problems when you're not bringing half of what Fox is bringing, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. And, the interesting thing here is that everyone thought that the SmackDown program was going to do well for Fox and for the WWE. But now Fox is saying they're losing money and they want to ditch this whole situation. And if they do, the good news about this, Mark, and you notice and I notice, WWE has USA Network in their back pocket. So USA would be more than happy to bring SmackDown back. But the intention of putting it on a national network, and I'm hearing stories now, that Fox wants to have NBA basketball, and they want to focus more on other sports. So I'm hearing now that NBC may want to bring SmackDown on somehow. That would be an interesting thing if that happens. But if not, they always have USA Network in their back pocket, and that's a good thing for the WWE. But it's embarrassing because here they're on a national network on Fox, and they're losing money, and that's pretty sad, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. More ways than one. You know, and you can't lose somebody like Reigns. That would be even more of a thing. That's why you got to keep the belt on him, grab the ratings and everything. Wouldn't you agree on that one?
I would agree on that one, Mark, but we've had this discussion many times, and the stories I'm hearing is that that Roman Reigns is burned out. He wants, you know, his health, you know, it has already put him into a part-time status as a wrestler. His health, you know, he's having issues again with that, with some of that cancer stuff, and he wants to spend more time with his family. So he can go and he can make one movie a year and make more money than he could as a wrestler and not have to spend all that kind of time away from his family. And I think it's eating him up, and I think it's – if you look at Roman Reigns nowadays, Mark, you will see that he doesn't look well. And if you look at him, he looks like he's burned out. He's disgusted. It's getting to him.
Right.
I could see it in his face and in his soul. You know, you can recognize these things if it's happened to you. It happened to me, and I know it's probably happened to several people listening tonight, you know, that they've had this issue where they burned themselves out so bad that they look so bad. Roman Reigns looks awful. I mean, he really looks bad. He looks like he's a little slowed down. I think that the job is taking its toll on him with his health. And, you know, I believe that to be the case, Mark.
Well, let's get some comments. Jesse coming in from Dearborn, Michigan says, guys, prayers are coming to you, Ralph, and also the Smoking Jim. I love the three of you when you break it down. Long live the Lions out here. I think the Lions might represent the NFC. As far as Roman Reigns, you might be right. Travel takes a lot out of you. It's grueling. Plus the cancer he had, you know, and staying away from his family. You know, I think he has four kids. So that takes
right.
a grind in itself, not being home. Right on, Jesse, with that. Do you want to comment on Jesse's?
Oh, no. You know, he said everything that I said, basically, and I thank Jesse for listening to the show and commenting. You're welcome to comment as well. We have 103 on board right now, and we're looking to get over 600 by the end of the show. We've done it. We can do it, and we can do more on Block Talk Radio here. Call your friend, call your cousin, call somebody. Have them call in 347-205-9631. Have them call in here to the show if they want to talk wrestling. We're across the country, all over the place, even in Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, so,
Albert from Poway,
anyway,
California, coming in, and he basically says he was walking around today sporting an Andre T-shirt. Boy, do I miss Andre the Giant. One of the best. How much would you pay to see an Andre the Giant go against a Brock Lesnar? You guys, I heard your show yesterday talking about going against
yeah.
Lesnar, but move these kind of guys out. Somebody had mentioned the great Khali. Give me an Andre the Giant versus Brock Lesnar. That would shatter some records. Albert from Poway. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it would.
Ralph, you could take it first, and then I'll come in on this.
Oh, yeah, Albert hit it on the head. Andre the Giant was a big draw. He always was. And, you know, I had the privilege when I was younger of seeing him. It was in Pittsburgh. They had a six-man match. It was the Samoans, Alpha and Sika, and I forget who they teamed up with. Oh, it was the Samoans and the Iron Sheik against Bob Backlund, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and Andre the Giant.
Wow.
And,
that reminded me of my first wrestling when I went. It was an 8-man tag team. I can't remember who all the participants were, but I remember the Macho Man, and it was Adrian Adonis on one side. I want to see Jesse the Body Ventura was involved in that too, but it was a big 8-man tag. I remember, in the days of the old sports arena out here.
Hey, let me ask you something, Mark. I want to ask you this question real quick. If Jesse Ventura was to ever seriously run for president, would you vote for him?
I would. I think I like him. I really do.
Yeah.
You know,
I would too. Yeah.
I would.
I like Jesse Ventura.
I don't want to take I don't want to take the amendment away from the people. You know, you might not agree with some of the things people say, but you know, they got an opinion, and you know, look at, you know, we broke this thing down on numerous shows, you and I and Smoke and Jim. This guy might like the Dodgers, that other guy might like the Angels. You're not going to convince me to like teams that I don't really like and that I care about. So that's what makes the world go round. But, yeah, I like Jesse.
Yeah, I'll tell you something interesting down here, speaking of sports, Mark. You know, I have to go to the hospital to see my nephew, and every time I'm in the elevator, I got a Steeler lanyard with my keys on it, right? And I'm in the elevator, and the one guy that works at the hospital is a Cleveland Browns fan, and then the hotel that we stayed at before the one we're in now, we had to leave because they were sold out, you know, so they sold out our rooms before we got there. And what had happened was we had to move to another hotel. And the guy that worked there, he was a Cleveland Browns fan, but I ran into a couple Pittsburgh fans down here in Youngstown. So it's been pretty even keel between Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You go on one side of the fence, you're a Browns fan, the other side of the fence in that town, you could fall into the Steeler wagon. We broke it down yesterday on the Tampa show, the throwdown with Peter Blake. And, boy, there were some interesting things across the board. We talked about some of these matches. From what I gathered, you and Peter weren't a big fan of this match that I'm really looking forward to, is Bobby Lashley and Bray Wyatt. Tell me why this is not an interesting matchup to you. I love it.
Well, I think it's a good match, Mark. The thing is, we need to get Bray Wyatt doing a little more work. I mean, you know, Vince McMahon's not happy with him right now. He's not happy with Triple H for bringing him back and signing him to some big contract. And what has he done? He's only been in one match with LA Knight. I mean, he doesn't come on SmackDown at all to have a match, even a squash match. And you know what squash matches are. I mean, at least put him in a squash match. He hasn't even done that. And, you know, I don't blame Vince McMahon for being angry about this because he got a wrestler that's sort of underperforming and not doing what he needs to do. And, you know, Vince McMahon, if you don't perform right or if you're not in creative the way you need to be, he's just going to let you go. Not like AEW where Tony Khan pays wrestlers now to sit around and do nothing. And he's paid several of them for that. But now I'm hearing that those wrestlers have been given an ultimatum that they either sign a contract with ROH or he's gonna start cutting wrestlers now. Tony Khan started to wake up now with AEW with this because he's tired of paying these wrestlers for not doing anything. Well, Andrade's hurt, but, I mean, you got Miro. Miro's not even really that hurt, okay? You got a bunch of guys that he don't know what to do with. And I said this many times on this program, Mark, and on Talking Wrestling with Smoke and Jim on Wednesday nights, and I've said this even on Peter Blake's show. When you have too many wrestlers and you don't have creative room for them, Mark, you end up disappointing them. They get mad. They get angry. And now, you know, Tony Khan's not giving TV time to a lot of these guys. But now that he bought ROH, he got himself out of that jam because now he can put them in ROH now. You got Eddie Kingston going there. You got Samoa Joe. You got Claudio Casanova. You got some pretty decent talent that's going to bring ROH back to where it needed to be. When they had the Young Bucks, they had Cody Rhodes. They had a few other guys there that were picking up the slack, the Villain. They had Jay Lethal. They had Kenny King. They had a bunch of guys in ROH that really made that company what it was. Cyrus Young. They had a bunch of guys. And, so I had the privilege of working security when they were in Pittsburgh doing taping shows and stuff. And I really enjoyed it. And I'm glad to see that Tony Khan's bringing ROH back. He's looking for a network to put it on, and I hope it happens. ROH has a good product.
Well, we got Lenny down there in Nashville, Tennessee, listening to us for the first time.
Wow. Music
City. He said, I'm listening to what Ralph's talking about. How about Smoky Mountain Wrestling, boys? Remember Hacksaw Jim Duggan and all those guys? you know, and some of the guys that were down in that neck of the woods, the Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, I believe,
Jerry the King,
you know, if I'm not mistaken, Double G, Jeff Jarrett started down here. Smoky Mountain, you know what? He brings an interesting thing up, Ralph, but I remember watching it, I think, maybe once or twice. I don't remember a lot of the guys in it. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, to me, was always out there, but I never thought it was something, you know, it kind of reminded me of the Global Wrestling or something that was, you know, the Glow Wrestling type of thing. It was out there, but you really had to stay up late or try to pick it up on some channels just to even watch it or being part of that neck of the woods.
Absolutely. I thank you for the comment as well. We have 206 online right now on with us now.
But do you know,
really
do you know anything about the Smoky Mountain Wrestling other than it's pretty much in the hills of Tennessee and all that, I guess?
I never watched anything from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I heard about them. Like you said, it's something that you hear about, something you stay up late to watch. Back in the day when I was younger, I used to go over to my friend's house. We used to play cards. We used to watch wrestling. And wrestling would come on after midnight. There'd be all kinds of stuff on. All different types of wrestling federations would be. AAWA, all different types. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, maybe, and some of these other smaller wrestling companies. And you're right. They were on after midnight. And it was great to stay up and watch them on a Friday and Saturday night.
Jack coming in from Austin, Texas, says my top three guys, they don't get a lot of pub, but I loved them. Junkyard Dog, Kevin Von Erich, Bobo Brazil. Wow.
Yeah, all three of these guys, I believe, are all up with the Lord. There's only two Von Erichs left as far as I know, but I can't remember their names, who's all left of the Von Erich family. Junkyard Dog.
Yeah, Kevin Von Erich,
was
unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Bobo
I love
Brazil.
Kevin Von Erich. Bobo Brazil.
The Von Erichs were great. The Von Erichs, Mark, were the ones who created the Texas Tornado Tag Team matches.
Yeah.
They were the ones that created that. So,
you're absolutely right.
And they carried
on
was
now. It.
So,
well, not only that, when you look at the tag teams, I still, you know, to me, the Hart Foundation was up there. You know, we talked about that on couple weeks back on the Tampa show with Peter Blake, Sports Web.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Hart Foundation, Demolition, you know, you can go down the list. You know, the Rougeaus were, you know, they were an interesting tag team. The Usos, but are the Usos better than the Hart Foundation? And I would have to say no. I would take the Hart Foundation over the Usos, I think. Would you? And I think we lost. We lost Ralph for a second till he gets back in. We are picking up steam here. It's the Wrestle Talk Across the Country podcast hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, in Los Angeles. Ralph Williams by his nephew's bedside got in an accident a couple weeks ago, and he is in Youngstown, Ohio. Smoking Jim Frazier has been in the hospital, too, so our prayers and thoughts are with him as well. But, boy, I'll tell you, you know, health is priceless, and God watches us all the time, so all you can do is stick with that and, you know, more or less keep them in your prayers. So we got that. But getting back to the tag team action until we get the technical difficulties out of Youngstown, Ohio, what Ralph worked out, a lot of people might think the Usos, and they've had the reins for a long time, but the Hart Foundation to me was something else. I really like the Hart Foundation in more ways than one. Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Bret Hart, and when Owen came in there too, I mean, it was just a whole different thing. So if I'm looking at tag teams, and you know, you could look out there and put quite a few of them together. Hey, look at, we could have one big one here at WrestleMania where they might take the belts, which I think they are, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That's a great tag team, too. But when you have single wrestlers and they kind of are good wrestling singles competition, then you kind of say to yourself, well, you know, I don't know how good of a tag team they're going to be. And the question here is, you know, the Anvil Neidhart and Bret Hart, they came in as tag team champions as the Hart Foundation. So they, in my mind, are a legit tag team. They haven't been put together. So, and, you know, people can come up with their own, too. You know, there's quite a few of them. You know, we saw Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels form a tag team, and they broke up. You know, and we've seen, you know, the Million Dollar Man and Virgil be part of a tag team. But that was more or less a thing where, you know, Virgil was like a lackey or something. It was one of those things where, you know, he'd come out there and kind of open up the ropes and do stuff for the Million Dollar Man. But some great tag teams out there, to say the least. Let me get to some more of these emails. Derek coming in from Des Moines, Iowa, says, guys, I love your show. Prayers and thoughts to Smoking Jim and Ralph. Keep up the good work. Big prediction, Cody Rhodes will take the belt from Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. So, yeah, Derek, you might be right. I don't want to see it. I'd rather have him hold the belt, keep it going another year. And then, you know, if you're going to bring The Rock in there, I'm surprised they didn't bring The Rock in L.A. They haven't brought The Rock in L.A. yet. So if they're going to keep it going for a year, and who knows where, you know, this thing might end up, WrestleMania next, then you can kind of get it and give it over to The Rock, and maybe he'll hold on to it for a while. Somebody looking at another email, and this is Michael coming out of Visalia, California, said, John Cena coming back, I mean, really, is he going to take the belt from Austin Theory? Well, hey, you know what? It's maybe to sell tickets. See, this is Hollywood, Michael, and you can sell tickets in this city. So, I mean, if you start bringing the John Cena in here, get him in the match, we don't know if we're going to get, The Rock in here. If The Rock makes a thing, you know, a presence there, you never know. But, you know, these things aren't one day no more. These things are four-day affairs. You got the WrestleMania, you know, where everybody signs autographs a couple days and as they come in, meet and greets. Then you've got the WrestleMania now, you know, the first day. They try to package everything together. The second day is usually the big match. Then you got, you know, them staying over. You can run a Raw through there. So, you know, they do it right. I'm sure, you know, it's a big event. You come in on a, you know, a Wednesday or Thursday, and you take care, like I said, of the meet and greets. You might run a SmackDown in there. You got your WrestleMania for 2 days, and then you close it out with a Monday Night Raw. So this is a big extravaganza. It's almost like a Mardi Gras, guys. It's, you know, it's that big. But, you know, that's where it is. What I'm finding out now is the card is starting to get better and better as we get. We're 3 weeks away, so the card will get better for WrestleMania. But we'll find out if these matches all play out. So that'll be the big thing. As we still stand here and wait for the technical difficulties to run out of Youngstown, Ohio, and Ralph, we will keep it going, and we might keep it going till the top of the hour, just so you know. And, you know, it will keep going more of that as Ralph comes back in. And, Ralph, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Yeah. For some strange reason, I lost my mobile service here on this line here, so I have to go into my other phone. So I'm sorry about that. I apologize for this.
Now, we held down the fort. People thought we were going to lose the show. We will keep it going past the top of the hour. We're going to the bottom of the hour. And, you know, we keep it going.
Yeah.
handle it. We were talking about the tag teams. I've been breaking it down with the listeners. Was there any thoughts on your tag teams? Because quite a few of them, as we've seen, the newest one that's going to be put together, but they're more or less singles type of wrestlers, but they're going to get the belts, will be Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. But I don't put them up to the Usos, Demolition, Hart Foundation, tag teams that were formed when they came in.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. But, you know, the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens tag team is being put together to go after the Bloodline. I mean, you know, and win the titles. Kevin Owens needs to do something. He needs to win a belt, and so does Sami Zayn. Both of them so far have come up short too many times. It's time. I think the Bloodline. But I did hear a rumor story, and I broadcasted this yesterday on my on the Talkin' Wrestling show that I do on the four platforms that I have. I heard a rumor that Rikishi is being brought back to fix the Bloodline. So we're going to find out if they can do that, and if that can, if the Bloodline could even be fixed. So we're going to see what Rikishi does here on this, coming in to try to fix the Bloodline. Paul Heyman's going to bring him in. Do you think, Mark, and I don't know if it can be fixed, because WrestleMania is going to be the collapse of the Bloodline. They're also talking about pushing Solo Sikoa a little bit more. They're talking about getting him involved in some kind of belts, either it's, you know, with the U.S. title or the Intercontinental belt or whatever. There's also going to be at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental belt, there's talk of a Fatal 5-Way or some kind of a 6-person ladder match, and you know, for the Intercontinental title. I'm just wondering how that's going to work out. What do you think?
I wouldn't break that up. I'd keep it together, because the more you can keep that together, it makes it that more. I mean, you don't want to start breaking up things, and it's working right now. And if you start to pull the plug, what about the ratings and SmackDown? I would be leery of that, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, Cody Rhodes, if he wins the title, like I said, they're planning on having some kind of tournament this month, and they better hurry quickly because WrestleMania is coming up. They're talking about having a tournament for the Raw tag team belts and a tournament for the WWE tag team or the WWE championship. The winners of both tournaments will the top two guys in that tournament that win will fight each other at WrestleMania for that belt. And then the tag teams as well. So right now we have 337 on the line. Great. It's great to hear that we have 337 tonight.
So let me ask you, who do you think is going to win the match? Who would you pick to win the match?
You mean to win the tag team match between Kevin Owens and them? Yeah, I'm going to take Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, because like I said, the Bloodline right now is in a big mess. You got the Usos. You got one not showing up. The other one now all of a sudden he's, you know, screwing over Sami Zayn. I think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have had enough, and it's time to take the Bloodline down, and I think they can do it.
Wow. You think so, huh? Yeah, you might be right.
Oh, yeah,
that's where they might go with it. What else is on your mind as we break some more of these matches down?
Revolution happened the other night, Mark. MJF won. He beat Danielson. AEW put on a good show with that pay-per-view. I thought it was one of their better ones, other than the very first Money or Nothing or Double or Nothing that I watched when I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I watched it online, and I thought it was a great pay-per-view. Revolution became a great one the other night for AEW. It really kind of put them on the map. We're going to see where it goes and how far it does go with this as well. You know, I'm hearing stories now. Kenny Omega's coming to the WWE. I'm hearing some other stories. You got the Hurt Business getting back together. You got Omos, Cedric Alexander, Carmelo Hayes, and Shelton Benjamin. We'll see if Lashley joins the group. We're not sure yet. So we'll see what happens. You know, I think down the road, both AEW and WWE are going to be putting on some interesting scenarios here. WrestleMania coming up. We'll see where that goes, the two-night event.
Yeah, that would be something to say the least. And not only that, when you look at it, we were talking about before we lost you there about WrestleMania. It's kind of turning into a Mardi Gras type of thing right now. You know, they come into town, and usually they'll get on a Wednesday. It's a meet and greet Thursday. Friday, this SmackDown. 2 days now with WrestleMania, and then a Monday Night Raw. Is that too much overkill? Because we're so used to the one-day event now, it's strung out in 2 days, and then spread into, you know, Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, well, you know, they make it 2 days, Mark. You know it, and I know it. It was successful during COVID. So they decided to keep it going, and WWE can charge for two nights. So, they can have one separate night and separate ticket, depending on what you want to do. And if you go to both nights, they're going to make a bundle of money. Los Angeles is going to make a lot of money. And then you have these parades, you have these autograph signings, you have these press conferences, you have all that to go along with it. And like you said, they're turning it into a Mardi Gras event, which, of course, WrestleMania has always been a big event, Mark. It's one of the biggest wrestling events in history, and Vince McMahon put it together. And I got to tell you, it's a great thing. And I love WrestleMania. It's my favorite pay-per-view other than SummerSlam. So, you know, throughout the year.
Yeah. Well, I have never been to a WrestleMania. Be going to the first one this year. I've been to a Hell in a Cell. I've been to a bunch of SummerSlams. Any thought to some of these pay-per-views, and which ones have you been to?
I went to a pay-per-view when GNC was a sponsor for WWE. I was a cab driver. When I drove a cab, I took one of the executives to the corporate office that used to be here in Pittsburgh, the GNC corporate office, General Nutrition. And he always set me up with wrestling tickets. I went to a pay-per-view in Cleveland, and I can't remember which one it was, and I went to one in Pittsburgh. JBL fought the Big Show in a cage match, and Big Show threw JBL through the mat. Body
slam. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and, you know, the match ended up in, I guess, and then it was for the title. And then when he put JBL through the mat, they couldn't get him out, so the match was over. And it was pretty interesting pay-per-view. I had reasonable seats, too. But I've never really been to any pay-per-views. In fact, to be honest with you, Mark, I don't really like to spend money going to SmackDown or Raw because they spend too much time talking and not enough time wrestling. I like AEW events when they're here, like Dynamite and whatnot. That's coming up in April. I would love to go see again. And I love AEW when they have their Dynamite. They don't talk. They do a lot of wrestling, but more wrestling and less talk. And that's what WWE continues to do that. And you pay all this money for a ticket, and that's all you get. And, you know, I don't want to hear all that. I think you agree with me on that.
No, I definitely do. And when you look at what's going on, and somebody wants to, you know, I want to bring in Dave coming in from Chelmsford, Mass. He says, guys, great show as always. How about your top five managers? I like the Sheik. The Iron Sheik was a good manager. Fuji, he put on there. Slick.
Freddie Blassie.
Jimmy the Mouth of the South, and I'm thinking the last one he's putting in there. I don't remember the Million Dollar Man being a manager. Do you?
No, I think he managed his son for a little while, and then when he was in WCW, he was with the NWO. You know, I do recall him managing a little bit. But anyway, he managed Stone Cold Steve Austin when he first came into the WWE. Remember, he was the Million Dollar Champion for a little bit?
Right.
You know, so he did do that. But Freddie Blassie was a good manager, the Grand Wizard. You know, Teddy Long was a good manager. MVP is not a bad manager. I mean, you know, look at what MVP's done with Lashley and stuff over the years. You know, Paul Heyman. You know, so there's some good managers out there. There's a bunch of them. Paul Ellering, look what he did with the Road Warriors. And now I'm hearing that the Authors of Pain are coming back. So we'll see. You know, there's a lot of good managers out there that have been over the years. I think some of them. Slick was a funny manager. He was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, Slick.
I got a kick out of him the way he would talk.
He was crazy. And Jimmy the Mouth of the South was good, too, with the blowhorn.
Absolutely, he was. You're right. You're exactly right. He was. You know, the blowhorn, yeah. Screaming and the yelling, you know. So Jimmy Hart was, you know, he's a good manager, or at least he was. I mean, he's still around these days. He shows up at Comic-Cons and all that stuff.
Somebody coming in with a pay-per-view, one of the best, the Royal Rumble. Yeah, that's a January one. That's a good one. You know, where every 2 minutes or whatever somebody...
Money in the Bank.
Yeah, Money in the
Bank. Because you get an opportunity at the championship. I mean, you know. So
I went, you know, I went to so many of those wrestling events. I remember one time I went with a buddy, and he was so hell-bent on buying one of those briefcases. The problem is you buy that thing when you first get in the place. You're carrying that sucker all over the place. I think he bought it for like $75.
Oh.
Money in the Bank briefcase. And, yeah, you're walking around with that thing the whole time and look like you're ready for a match. But, yeah, the Money in the Bank. I imagine those things have gone up tremendously now. And somebody basically is listening to every word we're saying, says, I think they've won up to $125 for a Money in the Bank briefcase.
It's definitely money. It's money you got to take out of your bank.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's money
money
take
in
out
the
out
bank.
Bank,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Ladders, tables, chairs. There's another one. Good pay per view.
Remember the
elimination.
Remember the one I liked was Taboo Tuesday. Remember they had that, and then they had online one. Remember that? What was that? The Cyber Tuesday, Cyber Sunday, or something?
Cyber. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Those were pretty interesting. Some of the matches that people picked were pretty funny.
Oh my God.
I mean, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Now, yeah, getting back to the WrestleMania, because we got people commenting on the card, they go, it's always not good the first day compared to the second day, and you broke it down, Mark, but I disagree. They got some good matches on the first day, but but I think usually the second day is where that main event takes place.
Yeah,
Tom coming out of Pensacola, Florida.
Absolutely. Pensacola, Florida, that's where Roman Reigns is from, Pensacola. So, you know. But today.
That's the thing. I don't know. I think they're putting on good matches. I'm going the first night, so, I don't mind. I don't really care, you know. Now we got commenting on T-shirts, Andre's shirt. Some guy goes, heard you guys all talking about CM Punk. I got the white one and the yellow one of CM Punk, the best in the world. Wow. That's old school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Somebody coming in, and, God, I see you, Nick. I see you, Nick, there. We're trying to get to everybody. Coming in says, hey, do you guys remember Cody Rhodes, the T-shirt with the mustache? Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, that's when he was the undecided, or so he was some, you know, fixing
came
his hair and
mustache.
All that. But that didn't last long. That gimmick didn't last long with him, you know.
He came in with the mustache. You're exactly right. We definitely remember that. 20 minutes left in the show. We'll throw a little sports news into it. I always say you can take the kid out of the city, but sometimes you can't take the city out of the kid. Ja Morant, I know you're not a big NBA guy. Kind of got busted with a gun doing a viral in Colorado. To me, it's absolutely stupid. I mean, I've seen too many of these things happen. They climb the ladder. Everybody puts them on a pedestal. And then when we get used to them and start giving them the handshakes and the bows, they fall off the mountain. I don't know. It's mind-boggling in more ways than one. I've seen this thing play out, and Ja Morant, to me, reminds me of Allen Iverson, another guy that, you know, spent all his money buying a big white Rolls Royce and driving around in Philadelphia and telling people you need to practice. So, to me, it's just plain stupidity. You forget where you start, you think you're invincible, and you come rolling off the mountain overnight. Any thought to that, Ralph?
Yeah, Mark, nowadays these athletes don't have any guidance. They have these greedy agents that don't provide the guidance, the old school guidance that some of these other managers and some of these other agents used to provide. And now they have no guidance at all. They have no leadership. So they're young and they don't know, and they get into all this mischief. Look at what's happened to some of the athletes all across the sports here. You know, you got baseball players getting in trouble. You got football players getting in trouble. You got and NBA players. You know, these young guys, and even in college, they're so young and they just don't have any guidance. And it all starts with parenting, too. You know, I mean, I've said many times, the parenting nowadays is terrible, and you have these young kids doing doing every different kind of bad thing. And, you know, when you're somebody like that and you think you have all the money in the world and, oh, I'm indestructible. I got all the money in the world. I can shoot somebody and get away with it. I can do an O.J. Simpson. I can do whatever I want because I'm a celebrity. I'm a basketball player, and I play in the NBA, and it's crazy, you know?
Well, you're right. On that front too, because there's no accountability, and now it looks like he's going to get off on it. So to me, it's just protecting somebody that should be protected and should be held accountable for their actions. And I don't know what you think about that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There is no accountability anymore. You've said that many times. I've said it a few times myself. This day and age, a lot of these athletes. I would rather people have their heroes be their fathers or someone in their family rather than these athletes that claim to be their role models. Well, if you're such a role model, then why are you having 10 babies with 10 different women? Why are you causing problems? Why are you getting in trouble? Why are you at the strip club getting into bar fights and things like that? You know, if you think you're some kind of hero to some child, that isn't the case. Because, you know, right now and back in the day, you could idolize athletes because some of the older athletes never did this kind of stuff. They were well respected. They were well mannered. They didn't turn down an autograph. They didn't give you the cold shoulder. They didn't act miserable. And, you know, sometimes, Mark, money makes you miserable. You can have all the money in the world, but if you're not happy, happiness, you can forget about it.
No, you're absolutely right. I think that's the, in a nutshell, where, you know, that's why they're protected and they shouldn't be, to the simple fact that they should be held accountable. And we put them on a pedestal and we don't hold them accountable. As we switch gears a little on that front, the Pittsburgh Pirates spring training, as we're getting geared up a couple weeks, I'll be kicking it back up with Tarek Brock, first base coach, as he's in Japan now, give with the World Baseball Classic, coaching with China there. But your thoughts on the Pirates? I think they're going to surprise some people.
Yeah, I think they are. They have some veterans that they brought in to help the young talent that they have. That was what they were lacking last year, Mark, is some leadership. Now, I'm hearing some stories. I have a reporter who works for Rum Bunter, and he reports for the Pirates. I've had him on my show many times. His name's Marty Leap. Marty told me that this is going to be sort of a make or break year for Derek Sheldon. Let's see what Derek Sheldon's made of. They went out and got some veterans for him to help this young situation. His dugout has to be a little more disciplined. You can't have catchers screaming at the umpires and getting thrown out of the game. You can't have guys running around with cell phones coming out of your back pocket. You can't be undisciplined. Derek Sheldon and Don Kelly, the bench coach, they need to take control of this team. They need to, it's good to have the veterans there, to support the young guys. But they have to start disciplining some of these players or doing something with some of these players because it's become a joke, to where the Pirates are a joke when things like that happen. And that's undisciplined. And Derek Sheldon now is in, his fourth or fifth season. I think it's time for him to start to get things rolling here a little bit. I gave him a break because of the talent he had in the COVID, but now he's got a little bit better talent. And I think the Pirates could surprise some people. There has already been said that they're going to lose 95 games this year again. I really don't see that happening. If they lose any amount of games, I think it'll be about 80. They might be 500. I mean, they have some talent. They have some veteran people there to help out. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't put my money too much in the prognosticators. These are the same people that tell you, whoever wins the World Series is coming back to win it the next year. And how often does that happen? So I'm not going to put too much emphasis on what they predict, but I will tell you they're going to be interesting this year. I think, you know, they win over 80 games. I really do. I think this team is going to, you know, they're probably a year out of really doing some damage, but I think with the veteran leadership there in McCutchen and Hill and Santana and G-Man Choi and everything, I think I like it. And keep your eyes on them. It's a division where a lot of people are just pretty much giving the Cardinals and, you know, the Brewers complete reins on the division, not giving the Cubs, Pirates, and Reds a chance. But, you know, now that we know who's going to win, it's all we have to do is play the game. Bill North saying, so borrow that one. But, no, I like Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh to have a better record than the Dodgers, believe it or not.
Yeah, I believe that to be the case. But here's something that I want to say, Mark. And I said this last year, and it happened. The Pirates need to win these games against the teams that are less superior than they are. Let's say, for instance, they're going to play the Oakland A's. They need to beat the Oakland A's. Let's say they're going to play Cincinnati, who was terrible, even worse than the Pirates, you know, last couple of seasons. But they can't beat them. They lose to them. So what I'm saying is, to offset the losses to the Cardinals, which always happens, and the losses to Milwaukee, which always happens, and the losses to other teams that always happens, what the Pirates need to do is win the games that they can win against the teams that are less than they are. And if they don't do that, then what's going to happen, Mark, is that they're going to have another season like they had last year. They have to beat those teams.
Right, right. That's going to be the interesting thing. How about the Penguins? They're playing the Islanders right now in your backyard. This is a team that rebounded nicely the other day after falling behind Columbus 4-0, ended up winning in overtime. I think the Penguins are headed for their 17th straight year of making the playoffs, and they're signaling their sights. It's going to have to be a long 8 years to try to tie the Red Wings, who hit 25 in a row.
Yeah, well, the prediction right now is the Pens are going to make the playoffs, but they're not going to go past the first round. But then again, they could surprise a few people, because I've said this many times, the playoffs is a whole new ball game. Who cares what happened in the regular season? When you get into the playoffs, it's a whole new thing. And Bill Cowher did this. He said, look, we're going into we've already been through half the season. We're 1-5. This is our bye week. Let's go into the next game after the bye week and pretend we're starting all over again. And that's exactly what happens in the playoffs, Mark. You start all over again. It doesn't matter what you did in the regular season. The playoffs are different. The Penguins could surprise a few people, but they have some goaltending issues, special teams problems, and the small trades that Ron Hextall made are really not going to help the Penguins. And I believe that at the end of the season, if they flop in the first round of the playoffs, I've heard stories now, and I just found out today that the Fenway Group has been sending all kinds of undercover individuals to these games to check out the team and write and report back to the Fenway Group. So with that going on, they're under a microscope. And if Ron Hextall could get fired, Brian Burke could get fired, and Mike Sullivan could get fired, they could clean house. We're going to see what happens.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Well, if they get knocked out in the first round, they've been knocked out in the first round in the last few years. The Rangers, the Islanders, the Canadiens, they haven't got to the second round in quite a while. And the third round was more or less their, you know, two-year run with the Stanley Cup back-to-back years, San Jose and Nashville. Before that, they got knocked out in that Eastern Final against the Bruins. But this is a team that, you know, with Malkin and Gensel and all these guys, I think the thing that's the Achilles heel here is, Ralph, is the goaltending. And if you get knocked out in the first round again, you better go get an adequate goaltender. And I'm looking at the kid that's in my neck of the woods, John Gibson, another Pittsburgh boy. You might want to swing some kind of deal and pick him up. They haven't had a good goaltending since Fleury. Fleury last night had 46 saves for the Minnesota Wild. I think they gave up on Fleury too fast. They pushed Matt Murray, and a big mistake if you're asking me.
I believe that to be the case. And get this, Mark. Smoking Jim always comes up with every team in a curse. the Steelers, the Santonio Holmes curse, the Pirates, they brought him back this year, Andrew McCutchen curse. And now, the Penguins, he says, the Marc-Andre Fleury curse. They should have never let him go away. When they had the supplemental draft to do the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and we ended up losing Fleury, yep. We should have protected him and tried to get somebody else in there. We don't have good backup goaltending. We have Casey DeSmith, who I think is a bum. They only pay him $1 million a year. They did that for an economical reason. He hasn't been reliable. And Jari's hurt every year. And now Jari wants a big contract. His contract's due up at the end of the year. I say you get rid of both guys and bring in two different people and really get this team moving with the goaltending.
Yep, exactly. Well said. Anything else on your mind? We're down in the last 9 minutes.
Yeah, we have the NFL draft coming up. You got the combine going on, or was going on, and you have the draft coming up. I see some of these teams looking at some of these quarterbacks, even though it's a heavy class of quarterbacks. I'm interested to see where some of them go. I'm interested to see what moves are being made. March 15th is coming up next week, where, the NFL can trade deadline. They can make some trades. They can make some cuts. It's the legal day. Now Bud Dupree's available, and there's some chatter going around that the Steelers are going to bring him back. I don't see that happening. Bud Dupree's a bum, and he's also injured too many times, and I don't think it's worth the money. Maybe if he comes on the cheap, he's going to get greedy. He's going to try to get that big contract like Tennessee. I don't see that happening with Bud Dupree or, some of these other guys. Teams are going to be trying to get under the salary cap and try to get rid of some players. And there's going to be a lot of shuffling around, a lot of things going on. We talked about Tampa. We talked about some of the other teams needing quarterbacks and different things. We'll see where this all goes. The NFL is going to be interesting this year. And all these new coaches, too.
Oh, yeah. Derek Carr in New Orleans. I didn't, it was a head scratch to me. It's almost like playing hockey in Winnipeg, if you ask me. I've never been to New Orleans, but then I figured I looked at the division and he could be a big fish in a small pond. I think he's going to help New Orleans tremendously. What's your take on Derek Carr going to the Saints?
Well, Dennis Allen, the head coach of New Orleans, he stinks. He was a terrible head coach in Oakland. With the Raiders. But if he gets the right quarterback and he gets some good coordinators, he's not a very good head coach. I see it this way. With Derek Carr, if he loses, he needs to be fired. But if he wins with Derek Carr, then Dennis Allen resurrects his coaching career.
Wow. That's interesting.
Absolutely.
In more ways than one. Well, we know Aaron Rodgers is going to end up with the Jets. That's a given. I said that from the beginning. Are you surprised it hasn't been done yet? And let's face it, that's the best scenario for him to win and take over a city right there. I mean, this guy's got ice in his veins. It's not going to shatter him going there. Did we lose you again? Him, I think we might have lost Ralph on technical difficulties there, so bear with us. We'll get him back in here. Must be the weather back there, working through some stuff. This happens, it's all part of the game. But with 5 minutes left in this great show, man, it goes by quick. Thank you very much to all you great listeners across the airwaves and stuff, and for chiming in and stuff as we work to get him back in here. And we'll be back next week, just to let you know. Same time, same channel, 4:30 on the Pacific time zone, 7:30 on the Eastern time zone. And just to let you guys know, If you haven't, it's daylight savings this week. Make sure you turn those clocks ahead. I know Indiana and Arizona don't worry about it, but the rest of you states, just want to make sure the listeners are up to par across the board here. You don't want to get into something where daylight savings. I did all my clocks. I'm ahead of the game, so I can live with it a couple days earlier.
Mark, I'm back.
And welcome back, Ralph. Yeah, just letting everybody know with daylight savings, you might want to jump on that unless you live in Indiana and Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget to put your clock ahead 1 hour. You'll lose an hour. So,
yep.
So go to bed a little early,
yep.
You know, and, you know, set
spring
your clock
forward,
right so you
fall
know what's
back.
Going on.
We got one guy
wait,
in, yeah, Harry coming in from outside of Philly. Looks like Germantown. Says, yeah, it's weird how the fallback is always the first week of November. And the spring forward is like the middle of March. When you break it down, that's a long time in between. Yeah. The spring forward,
yeah,
you lose
it's
a lot of sleep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. Yeah, I like it. I like it where, you know, a little lighter early in the morning and stays later and stuff like that. I think, man, there's just at 4 o'clock and getting dark in a December night. I don't know, no short nights and all that, but, yeah, as we get into this spring forward, boy, I can remember in the old days, you'd have to do the old cable boxes, sit there and try to do them and get them all ahead of time and stuff, and that was crazy. But now you got the technology, it usually kind of, you know, does it themselves. But as we wind this thing down.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark.
Ralph, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. You're all the way across a lot of platforms and could be in another one here in Oakland, controlling that one soon. But let everybody know across the board, and again, prayers and thoughts to your nephew there in Youngstown.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mark, and thank you all for your prayers. We had 535 people listening tonight. It was great. I can be reached at RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. Also, I'm on Facebook, Wimkin, Twitter, and LinkedIn. I'm also on 4 platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter, and all my shows are archived on YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel. I need 10 more subscribers to make 100. So help me get to 100 with the 10. I need 10 subscribers. Also, please say some extended prayers for Smoking Jim Frazier. As he had surgery yesterday, and he's in the hospital. And also, I appreciate the prayers for my nephew, Sean Negley Jr., down here in Youngstown, Ohio. I'm going to be here till Thursday of next week. And it's been sort of an okay thing down here. I've never been to Youngstown proper. I've been in and out of Youngstown. I've been to the airport, and I've been in and out of here a few times back in the day, but never really stayed here. And it's an okay town. They're still recovering from the factories leaving and all that. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, prayers and thoughts across the board on all those fronts. And as we wind this thing down, we'll be back again, like I said, next week, same time, same channel across the boards. More topics on the table, getting closer to the road to WrestleMania. And, man, oh, man, I can't wait for Pirate Baseball. For Ralph Williams out there in Youngstown, Ohio, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Stay tuned at the top of the hour where I don't know what the hell they're cooking out of Indianapolis. It's supposed to be a cooking show, but between John, Eli, Peggy, Bill, and Ray, you don't know where the topic's going. We've gone from nude beaches to people hanging outside a restroom. But that's a show for another day. Keep tuned to that one. And then after that, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Washington sports reporter, joins Cornelius, Brad, Hannah, and myself on the Duel in the Desert in Phoenix, Arizona. Have a blessed one, guys, and tell all your friends, and get his YouTube channel up to 100, god darn it.
Thanks, Mark. Be safe, everybody.